Good morning, everyone. I am finding I'm a bit overcome by emotion this morning. It might be because I'm not totally well yet after this horrible virus that's been coming and going for too many of us since Christmas. But actually, I think I'm realizing that it's more because I'm feeling moved with joy and a bit of wonder and some profound thankfulness mixed in there as I stand here almost exactly 2 years on from when John and I started ministry here. The license service, I think we've established, Dawn remembers better than I do, was the 3rd of February 2 years ago. So that means that the first Sunday must have been the 8th of February. So it's pretty much exactly 2 years today, isn't it? All sorts of things lie ahead of us this year, things that we know about and no doubt things that are going to take us by surprise. We've got opportunities to share Jesus with people. We've talked about the Alpha course already this morning, beginning with that Alpha Supper on the 20th of February. This is something that a lot of us were wanting, so don't miss the opportunity of inviting friends and neighbours and colleagues to come and have that chance to come and taste and see and meet Jesus. Then, of course, we're looking to develop our ministry amongst children and families, and I know that there are ideas swirling around amongst us over what the next steps might be there. And then, of course, before we know it, we'll be in Lent and we'll be heading towards Easter. And we're going to take some time in Lent to dig deep into our identity and position in Jesus and to think about how we are living in the light of that and being spiritually alert to what's going on around us and what's going on in us. And we'll be spending a bit of time in Ephesians as we do that. I love Ephesians. And then, of course, we'll travel with Jesus through Holy Week to the foot of the cross on Good Friday and all the horror of his death and his suffering for us. And then to the explosive power and joy of resurrection on Easter Day. And then we'll be heading towards Pentecost, which is at the beginning of June this year. And I just want this morning to sow a seed of anticipation about Pentecost this year. Because I have a hunch, well, I think it's more than a hunch, and I know that I'm not alone in this, that there is something about Pentecost this year for us here. We've been praying for a while for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit because we know that we cannot do what God's calling us to do without him. We cannot stretch out our hand to be a people of blessing to Ripley and beyond without his empowering, without his equipping, and without his emboldening of us. And we're longing for more. And I think that more is coming as we set our sights towards Pentecost. So can I encourage you to be praying and preparing and being expectant? But enough of that for now, because today I want us to stop for a moment and to notice what we've been seeing and hearing and simply to focus on Jesus this morning. I had a look back at my notes from the very first time I stood here to preach. I'm not going to ask you if you remember. I'm not even sure it was a very good idea for me to look back, but it seems that I said this. Getting to know Jesus is the best thing we can ever do. Well, I still believe that, so that's good. And then I said, I'm really glad that we are going to have the chance to get to know him better with you. And we have. And I want to thank you this morning for that, for the ways that we've been able to listen to Jesus and follow him with you, for the ways we've seen him in your lives, in times of joy and in times of hardship and sorrow, for the openness to him we've seen in people who've been Christians for a lifetime and also in those who've been tentatively reaching out to a God they're not even sure exists. And I want to thank you for the ways that you have been and indeed the ways that you continue to be a witness to the reality of Jesus's love and grace in the ways that you love people and the ways you welcome them and the ways that you live out the good news of Jesus day by day. John and I know Jesus better because we've been here with you. And we thank you for that. And we hope that you know him better too. And we said then, I even looked at what you said, John, but both of us, we said that what we wanted more than anything else was to fix our eyes on Jesus together with you and to run the race set before us. And I've been hearing that call to fix our eyes on Jesus again and again over the last 3 weeks as we've had this wonderful privilege and opportunity to hear from the charities that we support as a church, and then from Rian and Cap today. It's been really good, hasn't it? If you missed any of them, they are on the website, so you can listen. It's so worth listening. It's been inspiring, it's been challenging, really encouraging. And unmistakably, at the heart of all of it, there's been Jesus. Do you remember Anne Edmonds? 3 weeks ago, she was here. And she spoke of a blessing that she'd picked up from a group of nuns that said, "I wish you Jesus more than anything." Do you remember that? I love it. "Wish you Jesus more than anything." And then what about that wonderful group from Battelle? Were you any here when they came? What struck me most was how they know that their lives and their hope depend utterly on Jesus. Deeply and rawly and really, nothing else will do. Only Jesus. And worshipping with them, it seemed to lift our worship. Did you find that? Yeah. One of the songs we sang that Sunday, if you remember, was 10,000 Reasons, Matt Redman's "Bless the Lord, O My Soul," which has that line in it that goes, "Sing like never before, O my soul. Sing like never before." And as we were singing, I felt that God was saying to me, and perhaps to us as a whole church, do you really want to sing like never before? Do you want me to give you a new song? And I knew that I needed to listen to the song that the Battelle men and ladies were singing. And I don't mean in words and music, although it was there too. But the song and the message that came pouring out of them through their testimony that morning. And the song and the message, quite simply, was Jesus. And it's a song and a message that we need to sing aloud like never before. And in a way, that's what Jonathan Brook was saying last week when he was here. Don't hide the jelly babies behind your back. It was jelly babies, wasn't it? So Lydia will know best whether it was jelly babies or not. You know, share them, bring them out into the open, give them out to everybody. Don't keep the message of Jesus to yourself, hidden and quiet. Sing it aloud to the next generation and the world around. Share the stories of Jesus. I remember Jonathan saying, stories, stories, stories. Tell those stories. Give testimony. And I'm hoping that we'll do that more and more this year, that we'll sing like never before. But there are times when we need to stop for a moment and make sure that our eyes are fixed on Jesus and let him fill our hearts with his song again, fresh and new. Because even though we know him, we can miss him in the busyness or in the kind of relentless ordinariness or the difficulties of our lives. And I was really struck listening to our gospel reading this morning by the reaction of different people to Mary and Joseph as they took the baby Jesus to the temple. Now, I wonder if you can imagine all the hustle and bustle that there would have been in the outer courts of the temple where traders sold animal for sacrifice. Probably a lot of people, maybe a bit of pushing and shoving, hustle and bustle, a fair bit of stress and strain, I should think. And Mary and Joseph, just another couple with their tiny baby, come to do what the law required of them at that stage of his life. Many of the people there would just have glanced at them, hardly noticed the baby, let alone recognizing that God himself was there visiting his temple that day. And others may just have caught a glimpse of his face as his mother held him in her arms. But as far as we know, it was only Simeon and then Anna who stopped and noticed and turned their gaze on Jesus. They recognized who he was, and they were given a new song to sing, a song of promises fulfilled, of salvation and redemption, of light and glory. "My eyes have seen your salvation," Simeon sang out, as it were, "which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Light and glory. And we are invited to be people like Simeon and like Anna, who don't just glance at Jesus and then get on with our lives, or catch a glimpse and that's enough, but people who fix our eyes on Jesus and gaze at him, people who have our vision filled with him and our hearts captivated by him, people who are open to fresh revelation of the truth and the reality of who he is, and who know that our lives and our hope utterly depend on him. He is the image of the incomparable God. He's our incomparable Jesus. We sang "My Jesus, My Saviour" earlier with the words, "Lord, there is none like you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you." And it echoes that psalm that Pat read to us, Psalm 146, that said, "I'll sing praise to the Lord all my life. Do not put your trust in princes or in human beings who cannot save. Blessed are those whose hope is in the Lord their God." There is none like him. Nothing compares to Jesus. He's incomparable. And our vision needs to be filled with him and with that light and glory that Simeon sung about in the temple that day. I've been really kind of caught up this week as I've thought about that light and that glory. We talk a lot about the compassion of Jesus, his gentleness and his self-giving love, his incredible sacrifice for us on the cross and the salvation that we have in him. We think of him kneeling in humility at his disciples' feet and washing them, and of him showing us another way of living that's shaped by that same self-giving love. And it's amazing, and it's true, and it's vital. But at the same time, we must not forget that he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, that he's awesome and glorious and powerful and able, and he shines brighter than the sun a million trillion times over. I sound like a primary school child, don't I? But he does, a million trillion gazillion times over. Do you remember about the Transfiguration? The time when Jesus took three of his closest disciples up the mountain. When they were at the top, he was revealed to them in his glory, brighter than anything that they could possibly describe afterwards. Peter was one of them, and in his second letter in the Bible, he writes with awe about that time when he was an eyewitness of Jesus's majesty, the majestic glory of God, he writes about. John was another one, not this John, but John the disciple was another. And near the end of his life, John wrote the book of Revelation, which begins with an even more astonishing vision of Jesus. Just listen to this. You're probably familiar with it, but just listen. He describes him as having hair that was bright as the whitest snow, eyes that were like blazing fire, and with a voice like a sound of rushing torrents of water. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, and his face like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Now, okay, that might be a bit hard to imagine, But it is an awesome picture of the light and glory and power of Jesus. And John, when he saw him, fell at his feet as though dead. He was overwhelmed by Jesus. How often are we overwhelmed by Jesus, I wonder? And Jesus, we're told, bends over and places his right hand on him as he lies on the floor and says, "Do not be afraid." That sounds just like Jesus, doesn't it? Do not be afraid. Awesome power and glory and tenderness and compassion and humility. Later in Revelation, Jesus is called both the lion and the lamb. He is the lamb, gentle, humble, and sacrificed for us. And at the same time, he's the lion, the king, powerful and strong, who roars and everyone trembles, untamable and magnificent. And I'm guessing that's making some of you at least thinking of the Narnia books and Aslan. Not a tame lion. Jesus is both the lion and the lamb. You know, every time we come into this church building, we're presented with a picture of Jesus in this wonderful stained glass window at the front here. I know many of you love it, don't you? I think I see something different in it every time that I look at it. And it's all there. Power, glory, and self-sacrificing love. Such tenderness and compassion I see in the gaze of Jesus looking at us. And there, the wounds of crucifixion are there on his hands and his feet and his side, maybe even in the position of his body. But he's also, I think, the resurrected and ascended Jesus, seated in glory with that wonderful golden yellow diamond shape, full of light and glory. I was hoping the sun would be shining through it, but, you know, it looks even more amazing when it is. Light, glory, and the green shoots of new life. And his arms are open wide in welcome for you and me. And they're open to us this morning, inviting us to fix our eyes afresh on Jesus and to gaze at him, not just glance, but gaze, and to allow him to fill our vision and to enable us to sing like never before. So I'm going to suggest now that we take some time simply to focus our eyes and our hearts on Jesus some more. We've been doing it already this morning, but let's just plunge deeper into that. In a moment, the band are going to come and they're going to lead us in singing "Jesus Be the Center." I suggest we just take our time over it. There's no need to rush. And first, though, let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we are here this morning because of you. And we ask you now, whoever we are and however we are, to help us to turn our gaze on you. Fill our vision afresh with you, we pray. Give us fresh revelation of you. Captivate our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, we pray. I pray especially for those who are feeling slumped and weary this morning, those who, because of illness or sadness or maybe fear and anxiety, whatever it might be, find their eyes looking downwards and hard to lift up. Come to them by your Spirit, I pray, and gently lift their faces to you. And I pray for all of us that we would not be afraid to sing like never before. More than that, that we would not be able to stop ourselves singing like never before, as we come to know more than ever that our lives depend on you and that knowing you is the best possible thing for everyone. So here we are, Lord, looking to you this morning. Fill our vision, we pray. Amen.